nothing like the sound of horns. Stirring music. We thank Brass Mosaic for their ministry to our congregation. Hi. Why y'all look so somber? It's Sabbath. And you're alive. And the wages of sin are death. And all have sinned. And you're alive. That's how that works. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Remember Lot's wife. Let's pray. We look to you, Lord, now to feed us as we have need. In Jesus' name, amen. Though we are ending our This We Believe series, there is a connectivity between it and our theme for the year. And we return today to the theme for the year, which is We Are One. But for this second quarter, in breaking down the theme into four parts, we had selected One Faith as the theme for April, May, and June. And we did that knowing from last fall that we would be having the evangelistic series in the second quarter. Our hope was that there would be a coming together at Tacoma Park Church, that we would become more committed to the distinctive truths that make this church what it is. And without showing any disfavor toward any church or group, let me just say today, I am proud to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. One of our commitments as a church is to the idea that we must be ready for the soon coming of Jesus. And one of the ways that we prepare for that commitment is to be dedicated to what we believe. But we said in our baptismal class today that the Christian church is not just a group of people aligned to and pledged to a bunch of statements. We are seeking to be doers of the word. I would have thought there would be a stronger response to that. Talk is cheap. Come on, somebody. I know you're afraid to say amen to it because you know there's some stuff right now you're not doing. But go on and buck up and say amen. Talk is cheap. At some point, you got to do what you say you're doing. Is that all right? And so one of the purposes, JC and Daniela, of this meeting, these two young ladies are going to be baptized today. Somebody say amen. They have decided that knowing is not enough. They want to be doers of the word. And so This We Believe was designed. It was Anastasia created by us to make sure that this church would have a fresh opportunity not only to believe, but to rise up from that meeting and say, this, not only do we believe, but this we will do. And not step back. Our scripture reading for today includes the second shortest text in the Bible. The shortest is found in John 11:35. Jesus wept. But the second shortest is stated by Jesus. He says, remember Lot's wife. Everybody say it. Remember Lot's wife. Why would Jesus say that? There are 41 texts in the Bible. I counted them, Pastor Cheatham. I went to my concordance, Strong's exhaustive concordance. All pastors have to have it. List every word in the Bible every time it occurs. So I counted. I said, how many times does the text begin with remember? 41 times. And the only other one that begins with remember, more powerful than this one, is the one that says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You knew I was going there, because I'm a Seventh-day Adventist preacher. That's my favorite one. But this one says, remember Lot's wife. And there are at least two things in my mind, just getting started now, that there are at least two things in my mind that make that text special. And the first is, Jesus is the one who says it. Okay? But the second is, where it appears. Now, I teach preachers how to preach, and so one of the things I teach is contextual preaching. Do not lift the text up out of the Bible and go wandering off in some great sermon, and the sermon has no connection with where the text is. Want to get an F from right? You do that in my class. F is coming. Take the text, put it back in its context, and tell me what it's saying. And this text appears, this statement, remember Lot's wife, appears at the end of one of Christ's sermons on the second coming. Let me say it again. The statement, remember Lot's wife, Dale Wilson, comes at the end of a sermon on the second coming. What does Lot's wife have to do with the second coming? Now, there are several versions of the second coming of Jesus in terms of his sermons that appear in the Bible. Matthew, Mark, and Luke have these sermons. In Luke's gospel, there are two sections of second coming material, Luke 17, Luke 21. And in the 17th chapter where our key text appears, the second coming material goes from verse 20 to verse 32. But here, context. In verses 11 through 19 of that chapter, before Jesus starts talking about the second coming and then goes to remember Lot's wife, is the story of the lepers who got healed. Remember that? 10 lepers. Anybody remember the story? And only one came back and said, thank you, Jesus. The other 9 did not. Then follows material about the second coming. When he gets to verse 30 of Luke 17, and Jim Armstrong did a good job of reading this. Let's go to Luke 17. Did all right, Jim. We'll get you to do it again sometime. Luke 17 and verse 30. He's in a sermon now. The lepers healed. Only one came back. Then in Luke 17, verse 30, as he builds his sermon, he says, even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Then in verse 31, stay with me now. We're building the context. In that day, he who is on the housetop and his goods are in the house, let him not come down to take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Then he says, remember Lot's wife. Here's what's going on, Heske. With the lepers, the problem is They were delivered. Stay with me. They were delivered, but not grateful. And then these folks in verse 31, Christ has come about to deliver them, and they going back to get the refrigerator and the suits. Come on, y'all. They also are not grateful for deliverance. Their stuff is more important than deliverance. So we got lepers delivered, not thankful. Folks being saved, delivered, not thankful. And then he says, remember Lot's wife. The problem with Lot's wife is, here's a person who's delivered and not grateful. See how text shines when you do it contextually? Now you're just as excited as I am. Hey! There's nothing that upsets God more than folks he's trying to save and they got their minds on other stuff. See, salvation for God is priority. You ought to want to be saved more than you want to get married. Unmarried young adult, you ought to want to be saved more than you want a promotion. The amens have gotten extremely weak, more of a mumble now. You ought to want to be saved more than you want a new house. God will not tolerate any rivals. The most important thing to a Christian ought to be, I want to see Jesus' face in peace. And if there is something else, if there is a problem, an issue, a thing, a person, a position, money, whatever, if there's anything you have made more important than wanting to be delivered and see Jesus, then Jesus is upset about that. And then he says very slyly, remember Lot's wife? Now, why Mrs. Lot? Why? I mean, there's a lot of great women in the Old Testament. There's Eve, who stood by her husband, even after he threw under the bus in front of God. You remember that, don't you? The woman whom thou gavest me, she's stung right in there with Adam. Adam should be thankful there were no skillets in that day. She would have realigned his head with that skillet. We have to admire Eve. Then I think of Mrs. Enoch, whose husband was snatched away from her by God. But all the records indicate she stayed faithful to the end. Mrs. Noah, stuck by her husband, building a boat in the middle of a field, told her it was going to rain. She said, what? Read your Bible, it never rained. That's a believing woman. Stuck by, surely we should remember Mrs. Noah. And then there was Sarah who stood by Abraham. Why does Lot's wife get this notoriety? Because in the issue in Christ's mind, here is a person, because all these other ladies, when deliverance was offered, they finally by faith accepted it. But Mrs. Lot, with two angels on each side of her, dragging her from Sodom. And Jesus is upset. Remember Lot's wife? Now, we've heard of Lot. We've heard of Lot. Nephew of Abraham. We must laud him and his wife. When Abraham left the great metropolis of Ur with all its conveniences of that day, it was Lot, his nephew, who went with him, picked up lock, stock, and barrel, and went to a place he knew not what. And Mrs. Lot went right with him. The Bible is so impressed with Lot that in 2 Peter 7, 2 and 8, he's referred to as a righteous three times. It says his soul was vexed by the sins of Sodom. And I have to believe that Mrs. Lot was right there with him. These were two people whose hope, watch me now, whose hope was in God's deliverance. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, that God does not deliver always the way that we pray. Many times in our prayers, we're praying for a way out. Life has taught me, I'm 75 now, working on 76. Life has taught me that God never provides a way out. But he will, hey, by his grace, provide a way through. He makes paths through the Red Sea. He makes a highway through a mountain. The God we serve is not light. He's deep. And if you want to get through something, talk to Jesus. Want a way out? Make friends with the devil. My God is a God who sees you through. And so the God that we serve is interested in those people who will stand and stand strong. So they were righteous people. And then there's this change in the narrative. You remember it. You read Genesis 13 and verse 12. After they got settled, moved from Ur, out there in the wilderness, donkeys dust all up in their nostrils, the dung of camels, their daily fare in terms of the odor around them, pitching tents, taking down tents, sheep and goats, fixing food in the tent, all that so forth. And they got so prosperous, because Lot was a good businessman just like Abraham, they could not keep their flocks together. You've read the story. Don't need to bore you with it. And so they decided to divide up their great wealth. And Lot shows a characteristic that bothers me, bothered you when you read it. Instead of letting his uncle pick first, he picked first. And the Bible decries the announcement, he pitched his tent toward Sodom. The problem with the story is, it doesn't stop there. Because by the time the angels show up, he not only is not in a tent, he pitched his tent towards... Didn't y'all read the Bible? The tent is gone. They now have a townhouse. The scriptures are clear. A townhouse inside the city. Where's the tent? Mrs. Lot moved toward the city of Sodom, got close. She saw these ladies with the built-in kitchens and the built-in closets and the master bedrooms and the inside. They had inside toilets in Sodom, y'all. They've dug them up. And she began to see all of this stuff and so forth. Watch me! Listen to your pastor, because God knows between the time you made your commitment to be ready for him, Satan has worked on your head, tied you up. You've got debts up to your neck. The car's not paid for. The house is not paid for. And you panic every time you get the bill from Macy's. You bought too many clothes. And you can't pay for them. And you're involved totally in Sodom. You've moved from that period of time when you had a tent-like life, you lived light, didn't have a lot of stuff. Why? You didn't want the Lord to have to burn up a bunch of stuff because you knew you were going to heaven. But now he has not come when you thought he was going to come. So you've piled stuff up. Got shoes you ain't worn in 5 years. Suits you've not put on in 2 years. Got clothes you've forgotten that you own. You have no intention of ever leaving Sodom. So they move in. And Lot was a wealthy man. Probably a walled, gated community. Private guards and all that kind of stuff. Are you listening to me? living large. And the thing about it is, folk, we sit here and we talk about the second, our church's name, Seventh-day Adventists. Means we're hooked to the coming. We talk about all this stuff. The day's going to come. We're going to run to the rocks and mountains. You ain't thinking about no rock and no mountain. Just tell the truth like it is. Going to be living in caves. You ain't thinking about living in no. Look at your house. Your house ain't near like no cave. That's going to be a great transition for you. God, the devil is a wise dude. We're going to be out there in the fields, eating from the fields and so forth. You don't want no dandelion greens. You want your greens picked at the fresh market. Is anybody listening to this preacher today? Devil is smart. He's wise. God is tied up and locked down. Well, no angels showing up talking about this is going to be destroyed. Get out of here, man. It ain't paid for yet. How you going to destroy it? I ain't paid for it yet. Somebody's listening to the pastor this morning, and the devil had him so locked up and tied down, she had no thinking, no plan. Notice, but the scriptures are clear, because Jesus, telling the story, said, just when you think that, he says, in fact, talking about Lot, he says they were buying and selling. You read the text, buying and selling and doing. That's when God's going to show up, y'all. Life is normal. Things are going like they always have. Suddenly, there's a knock on the door. I grew up in old Adventism. They talk about the fact that we have to leave the cities. Some of y'all have been in the city all your life. Now, I know. See, I came from the country. I know what it is not to have a toilet in the house. And even with that, I ain't ready for no cave. Now, you know. I'm being honest with you. I'm not ready for no cave. I gave that up. By the time I was 13, we had inside toilets. I ain't think about going back the other way. What I'm saying to you is, God knows all this. Over these past 2.5 weeks, we've been preaching God's word, God's gospel. We've talked about the Sabbath. We've talked about the tithe. Don't eat this. Don't eat that. Don't wear this. Don't wear that. The dead are really dead. All this new stuff has come to somebody sitting here, and you don't want to turn loose of where you are, and you have no idea how that stuff that you used to know, used to believe, is down inside your mind. Somebody right now in this congregation is trying to cling to Sodom. Don't want to let it go. The message that came to them was simple. Two verses, verse 13, Genesis, the 19th chapter. These are the angels talking to them. The angels have moved in now. Word got out. The brethren came. We want to know sexual these men. Now, to show you how damaged Lot and Mrs. Lot had become, Lot says, take my daughters. Every time I read that thing, Pyramid, it upsets me. Take my daughters. Didn't hesitate. The ways of Sodom had filtered in. God in his mercy ignores the offer. And the angels step up. Did you read it? Blindness. The men can't find the door. Isn't God something else? Lot and Mrs. Lot do not want to be delivered. Please keep in mind the theme of this sermon. You've been offered deliverance. You've been set free from error. You've been taught things you didn't know. God has offered for you an opportunity to live a different life, to follow God's commandments, but the old way seems so dear. We're rough on Mrs. Lot. Lot did not anymore want, in fact, if you read the Hebrew Bible, by the time the angels finally took charge, it says, the Hebrew says, they are dragging them out of Sodom. Yeah. sin can become very dear. Please, somebody say amen. Sin can become dear. Whether we're talking about the cigarette we smoke, or the beer we drink, or the money we have, or the side relationships we have outside of our marriage, these things become dear. And we may say and sing in church that these things are sinful, but the fact is, by the time the sun sets on Sabbath, we cannot wait to get back to where we were. Sodom! Sodom is a powerful, influential disease. Staining and corrupting and distorting and blinding is Sodom. Don't forget the description of Sodom. You only know Sodom as a place that looks like brimstone. But the description of Sodom was that it was like the Garden of Eden. That's in the Bible. Everything about that city was beautiful and appealing. The freeways, the boulevards, the suburbs, everything there was nice. And some of us have come a long way. I've come from a house with no toilets, no inside water, so forth and so on. Now living in a nice place, every push button this, push button that. And, you know, we sit in church, you know, in the suite by and by. I got the suite by and by right now. Xfinity, they sent me the new thing now, you know. I talk, and the television changes. Come on, y'all. I love doing it. Hey, I want a cowboy movie. Give me a list of cowboy movies. That's Sodom for it. Sodom is something else, man. Sit on the couch. Don't even have to get up. I don't have to get up. I want to see the Wizards get beat by the Celtics. It puts it right on. Sodom is a terrible fellow. And so the Bible says, here was the message. For we will destroy this place. Chills went down Mrs. Lot's spine. Because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is coming, Sandra, to destroy all of it. Do you realize everything you have? He has come to wipe it out, but he wants to deliver you. Then the next part of the message is found in verse 17. Escape! Escape for your life! Look not behind you. Neither stay you in all the plain. Not only get out of this house, get out of this city, and get out of this state. Go to the mountains, lest you be consumed. He's talking here about total separation. Are you listening to me? It's time for total separation. Nothing about Lot can own my brain, my thoughts, my desires. I gotta let Sodom go. Get out. Leave Xfinity. Come on, somebody. Get out. Leave the microwave. Get up, leave the push button. Get on out. Get to the mountains. Oh, yes, the cave is coming. The question is, are you ready for it? Is anybody listening to the pastor today? Bless our heart. They kept asking. They went to the kids and appealed to them. They would not respond. The sons-in-law would not respond. He wound up with himself and his wife. Two daughters. I imagine whatever was going on in her head. Wrestling. Should I make a decision? Should I not? Wrestling. Should I leave or should I stay? Wrestling. All those clothes in the closet. All those shoes in the closet. All those appliances in the house. Do we really have to go, Lord? And the language gets anxious. The angel starts saying, we must go. We must go. We must go. You must go now. Every now and then, we ought at least be willing to move fast for God. Because he moves fast for us. If I need God now, he gives me a now. Not a yet, not a not yet. He gives me a now. And there, every now and then, you ought to be willing to move fast for God. They're stumbling. The angels are pulling them. Come on. Dragging. Come on. And finally, these two powerful beings take charge. And the Hebrew says, the angels actually lift them up. I checked it out, Chris. The angels lift them. Hey, I got a God who will carry me out of trouble if I need to be carried. I got no strength to walk. God will be my legs. I got no eyes to see. God will show me the way. I got no ears to hear. God will listen for me. That's the kind of God I serve. He's carrying them. Just when the angels think they've been successful, remember Lot's wife. Just when God thinks the lepers will come back and say thanks, remember Lot's wife. Just when God thinks those people will not go back to the housetop and gather stuff, they go back, remember Lot's wife. She turns. If you visit the old site of Sodom, that's right, Marley. Marley's nodding, he knows. There is a piece of stone near the site. The Arabs call it Lot's wife. The Bible is clear. The deliverance of God was rejected. There was so much there, she could not cut loose off. She's almost around the corner. One more look. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a time in life you must do exactly what God says. First day won't do when God says seventh. An offering will not suffice when God says tithe. A meal that has some clean and some unclean will not do when God says no. Unclean. You got to do it just like God says. Don't look back. You're worried about her. Jeff, I'm worried about Jesus. He sent those angels himself. He gave them power to get Mrs. Lot. And Jesus, looking down from glory, Heskey, sees this woman whom he sent angels to deliver turn back. And I hear a groan from the throat of my Savior. No, Mrs. Lot, no! She turns. But the word of God was clear. Don't look back. Did you come to these meetings? Did you hear the call of God? Did you think the word of God was suggestive, not commanding? Can you really go back to practicing what you used to, having heard what you've heard? Come on, ushers. Let's start passing out our slips. Everybody receive one. It's a decision slip. Everybody take one. Don't think that you're so holy or so Adventist you don't need one. Take a slip. Thank you. I need you to make a decision. I don't believe that these two young ladies, oh yes, we have people already promised to be baptized on the 20th. We already have people promised to be baptized in June, but maybe you're not a part of those decisions. I offer you today God's deliverance. Don't look back. The only way to operate with truth is to go forward. Everybody in the balcony must receive one. If you don't have a pen, borrow your neighbor's. And if that line that says, I want to be baptized and become a part of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, if that's you, you check that line first. Sign your name, check that line first. Amwar is going to sing while you make your decision. Now that's the paper. You'll put that in the offering when the deacons lift the offering and the tithe. But I'm not done. I'm not done. Neither is the Holy Spirit finished. Perhaps you have the courage come up here today and declare yourself for truth. Maybe you've been thinking about taking Bible studies or becoming a member of this church. I need every human being in this room now pray. Everybody pray. Not looking around to see who's going to do what, because it's none of your business. Have the courage to get up and come down here. I want to become a part of this. Bless you. Bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Somebody else? You're looking. I need praying. If you ain't moving, then you ought to be praying. Now, if you're moving, get on up and come down. Balcony's not too far to come for Christ. Well, Pastor, I'm not ready to be baptized. That's all right. Come down for a Bible study. Who will come? Who will come? See prayers. Agonize with God for souls. Lord, send somebody. One has come, send another. Where are you? This is so open, Pastor. This is just too much for me. Well, if you sign the sheet, we'll accept that. I just wanted to see if somebody would come. Somebody has. Would you come too? Young, old, boy, girl, man, woman. I'm going to have you sing another verse, Anwar, and I'm just going to stand here and just wait and see what happens. Folk, you're praying.
I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears.
Sing the chorus with him while you're praying.
Coming home, coming home, nevermore to roam. Open wide thine arms above.
Father, I thank you for the power of the word. These are awesome times to make decisions for Jesus Christ. So many right now stand on the edge. Learned a lot in 2.5 weeks, and it's hard to grasp it. You continue to work, Jesus. If you bring them one at a time, two at a time, three at a time, that's fine with us. We're your servants. But let the word not return void. For this one who has come today, we say, give you thanks. For the two who will be baptized, we say, hallelujah. And for those yet to come, we give you thanks ahead of time. May all of us remember Lot's wife. To this end we pray, in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Are you glad you came to church today? Stay by now and see these two young people baptized.